help me with prayer. Help me with prayer. And this is vital. The church is only going to go as far as it is prepared to pray, to intercede, to seek God. And we are enriched, blessed to overflow with God's word here in this assembly. We are in many ways experiencing a revival of the word of God, taught by the Spirit, by the anointing. But everything has to be balanced, because you cannot have the word without prayer, and you cannot have prayer without the word. And God said in his word that my house is a house of prayer, not a house of the word or a house of praise. All of that is important, but he said a house of prayer. And over the next few weeks, I want to, Lord willing, impart to you why prayer is essential, and maybe why you're having problems, you're struggling, or maybe areas that you're not actually seeing with regard to prayer, and why prayer is essential. Indeed, sometimes we tend to think that others do the praying and will do the praying for me. But you see, God will not have that. He will have us all to pray. He will have us all to believe. He will have us all to function, all to experience his blessings and what he has for us. As I often keep saying, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level for all, whatever your function, your ministry. So, over the next few weeks, we should be looking at this question, help me with prayer. Christians will be known by their prayer life. They will, because also with the prayer life will be the fruit, will be an anointing, a blessing, peace, relationship with God. All of it comes as a result of having this prayer life. And for the Holy Spirit to accomplish his work of change, it requires prayer. You are not going to just be merely changed by coming to the meetings and sitting under the word and expecting the word to do that change, unless I take that word and I pray and I intercede and I seek God also. You see, if you are convicted in the meeting, and praise God for those convictions, because there's nothing wrong with it. That's a good and healthy sign. And sometimes you come up to me and say, oh, the word of God convicted me. And I think, well, praise God for that. But are they going to then take that away and pray about that and seek God about that and talk to the Lord about it? You see, that is the point. Or it might be where in teaching there are a few things that you don't understand. You may say to yourself, well, I've heard this morning, I've heard what the preacher's saying, but I'm not quite understanding. And so again, you need to go away and seek God and look in the scriptures and say, Father, can you please show me this? I'm not quite understanding. And he will. He will show you. He will open up the word to you. But only these things can result with a prayer life. We talk about relationships with God. And that is what we're saved for. We're saved for a relationship with him. And that relationship glorifies his name. But that relationship can really only come in a deep and meaningful way when you have a prayer life. The Bible tells us that we are to go into our closet. Now that closet speaks of you personally going before God. The closet doesn't speak of the church going into that closet. or your husband, or your wife, or your sister, or your brother, or whatever it would be. That closet speaks of you personally going before God in relationship, in communion, and talk. That is intimate. That is a place that you should have with God where you talk face to face with Him. Because the nature of your prayer, the nature of what you are going to talk about and converse with God is not for ears for anyone else. And not only am I that on your side, but also on God's side. Did you know that when you talk with God in your closet, angels can't hear that conversation? Only your Father. That is not ears for His ministering spirits. That's how God honours that. You see? Now the enemy might try and get in and listen, but God has overcome that. And He's under your feet, so you've got nothing to worry about on that even. So your fellowship, your communion with God is between you and God. That is what Christian is being about. But that only comes in a prayer time. That only comes as you sacrifice that time and get before God. And of course, we've all experienced, haven't we, where in our quiet time before the Lord, we notice sometimes that the enemy doesn't like it. The phone hasn't rung all day, and suddenly you get into the closet and the phone doesn't stop ringing. And the enemy says to you, you better go and answer that, that may be important, you know? Or you get disturbed, somebody comes to the door. Or suddenly the children start playing up. Being good all day, and the moment you want to have a time with God, it's like then in the natural, hell's let loose. The enemy tries to stop us from having that quality time before the Lord. Why does he try and stop us? Because the enemy knows the power of prayer. Do you know, very often, he's got more understanding and discernment about the power of prayer than many of God's people in the house of God. Well, how much more then should we be aware? We're told that he serves us, he's our footstool. We have overcome him. And the only way you're going to overcome him is that you have a prayer life. Now, note what God has said in this title this morning. Help me with prayer. Only the humble are going to ask that before God. Only those who are desperate, who are seeing that prayer is essential, or are seeing my life just does not have prayer as it should. I fall short in this. Thank you, Father, for this title. Help me to pray. I want it for your glory. Do whatever it takes to get a prayer life out of me. Because once we begin to see this, we're going to start to see changes in this church. And we're going to start to see the whole church praying as God wants us to pray. Because I've been before God that we're not fulfilling as we should being a house of prayer. And what's the problem, Lord? What's the problem? And it eventually comes up. Help me to pray. When you first start asking God that, then we'll know what it is to pray. Then we'll start praying up a storm. Because nothing's going to happen except we pray. We intercede. God is presenting doors of ministry into India. And not only that, this word is going out. This word's going out this morning on internet. It's going out. And this whole church has to be behind this, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. Do you honestly believe the enemy's going to stand back and say, oh, help yourself. Go on, let the word of God go out. You know, I'd like that to go out. Of course he's not. We're told he's the God of this world and blinds many. he's going to put up a fight. And does. But God has shown us the weapons that we have are far greater and more powerful. We have to all be behind this. This is why I've been teaching you again over the past few weeks, your ministry, your function, that you're not here by mistake. God doesn't make any mistakes. It's a divine appointment. And he's here to speak to us, to help us, to change us, to encourage us. But he's also put you here for you to function. For you make up the body of Christ. It's not a building. It's not a steeple. The church is the people. Without the people, you have no church. We've got it all wrong today. And so as we are praying people, we are getting behind what God is showing us as a church, pressing in. So we're going to begin to see the next phase that God has. Now I am believing, and God has to establish this and work this, but I'm looking to God because I know God is practical, and I know that we come from near and far through the week. We've got our jobs, we've got our commitments. God sees all of that, we can see that. I've said to the Lord, how can we be a praying church when we're all scattered abroad? And God, always being practical like he is, he said, well, when you're ready, you will pray on Sundays when you come together. Obvious, isn't it? Doesn't take any revelation. And what I see is maybe where we're going to have a meeting, instead of the word being preached, we have a prayer meeting. We're going to be interceding. We're going to be on our knees. Amen?
Amen.
Or maybe after a short word, we may extend our meetings, have our tea right at the end, and we have a prayer meeting we go through. That is what I'm believing for. But this is only going to come when we are honest and said, Lord, help me with my prayer. Help me to pray. Because for God to bless these, the word to go forth, and you are part of this, you don't know if one of you are going to be called to accompany sometimes ministry or even abroad. You do not know how God is going to move. But I know this. For God to fully bless this, it's going to take this full assembly, all of us standing together in prayer, united and interceding. Why has God baptized us in the Holy Spirit? For prayer, to press in, warfare. You know, a believer who truly loves God with all his or her heart will sustain that prayer life. A prayer life is telling you where you are with God. It is your spiritual thermometer. It is. Ah, but I belong to Full Gospel Assembly. I sit under the anointed word of God. Praise God for that. That's the mercy of God. But I still hold to the fact that your prayer life is a spiritual thermometer, and it is telling you where you stand with God. And where you stand with your brother and sister. And I think most of us are going to all bow our heads in shame on this one. But that's why God loves us. And he's bringing this up. Because there's going to come change. And change is healthy. Change is good. It means that maybe we've got to come out of our comfort zone. But that doesn't harm. That does us all good. You know, all of those that had to move and step out in faith had to come out of their comfort zone and meet God halfway. And when you move out, God is always there. He's always there to meet you. We've heard testimonies of where saints have just stood up in faith, or just moved out, not feeling that faith, not even feeling anointing, not even feeling anything, but going on the promise of God's word, and there the Lord is. Right, standing on the water with you as you take that step of faith. He is always there. That is where he's promised he will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Is that in that realm of that step of faith? He has promised not to leave you. The only thing that will separate you in there is if you open the door to fear, which Peter did, and he began to sink. Why did you fear, Peter? I was there with you. I was on the water with you. That's the wonderful thing about that story, that miracle. Jesus stood on the water first. And all he said, come, join me. God never lets you take a step of faith without Jesus having done it first. Why? Because he's there to meet you. And all that was separated is that old fear that gets in. I'm sinking. Are you not? That's what the enemy says you are doing, is sinking. But Lord, I can't pray. You don't know my life. I'm so busy, and when I do eventually sit down, I am exhausted and whacked. Sound familiar? Just meet God and step out on the water, and suddenly the joy of the Lord will be your strength. He will revive you. If you really, really want to pray, that is seeking first the kingdom, he says, then it will be added to you. I'll add that time. I'll give you that space. I'll work through the situation. We'll have that time together. That's what God says. He'll work through the impossible. Because I'm very aware of the age we live in now. I'm very aware that, you know, we're literally at times rushing to try and just keep up with what is involved during the course of the day. I'm aware of that. I'm aware that's the spirit of this age. Rushing people. Nobody's got any time. It's a rat race. Well, God can override all of that. The demands of your job, God can override it. Household chores, looking after a house, God can override it. Whatever the demands. Because God does not make a mistake. If God is giving a message like this today, then it's not impossible. We've shown you it's not always necessarily how much time, but it's that quality time that you have with him. That's what he looks for. Now, I take this a step further. The Holy Spirit, the baptizer, has come to teach us all things. And he is going to teach you how to pray. You don't know how to pray. I do not know how to pray unless God teaches me, unless the Holy Spirit comes to teach us how to pray. Romans 8:26. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Know this very well. He says that likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities or weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In those two verses, there is a huge amount to learn. Let's just look at a bit of it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. The King James uses infirmities. And I can understand why it uses infirmities as well as weaknesses. Because it's talking about you, the flesh. Now, the flesh changes like the wind. It's like a weather vane, isn't it? Have you ever watched them on a blowy day? They're sort of moving around, but you get a sort of rough idea, well, the wind's sort of blowing southerly today and then probably more westerly. But it's moving, just like the wind, just like us. Our weaknesses, our infirmities. Oh gosh, I'm tired today. You know, weakness, tired. I'm not feeling too good today. I got a bit of a bad head. I got a tummy problem. You name it. When we get up each day, I bet there is something of some weakness or some form staring us right in our eyes, isn't there? There is something of the flesh in some way or form is fighting against the spirit. Well, none of us should be tired this morning because we've had an extra hour in bed, haven't we? So it might be something else that's a problem, you know? So this is what the Apostle Paul speaks about. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps our flesh, our weaknesses, our attitudes. I'm fed up, I feel down, or I'm angry. He helps our weaknesses. For why? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So in that weakness of the flesh, in the flesh, you don't know what to pray for. Oh yes, I do. I've got a bad head this morning. No, you don't. That's the flesh. That's you. That's wallowing. That's feeling sorry for yourself. Now, I'm not saying you can't pay for a bad head, but notice how the flesh tries to get us to pray what we think is the will of God, you see? That is why the baptism of the Spirit is so important. Because those I found were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, a lot of their prayer life is so centered around self, me, my problems. Because the flesh is dominating. And so the flesh is dominating, it's influencing their prayer life. But I have said to you, the Holy Spirit has come to help our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's humbling, isn't it? Help me with my prayer. Have we noticed the title? Here it is. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself, that is God, Himself, makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the utterances come by the Spirit in those languages. And as you appropriate, as you give your voice over, you want to pray, you want to be used by the Holy Spirit, then He begins to show what is on His heart. Because He's communing with you by the Spirit. And what He shows sometimes, or He burdens sometimes, is so deep that at times it cannot even sometimes be uttered. It goes so deep. That is the nature of true prayer. That is really how we pray. When we give ourselves over to God and God is praying His heart. Jesus now, the intercessor, the high priest, He's praying, He's picking up from the Father's heart, and implanting it to you, me, the church, so that we can pray His heart through. How powerful that is. No wonder the enemy tries to stop us to pray. That's his power. Churches today want power. But you first have to get power with God in prayer. Intercession. So there it is. He makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. So He's searching within that. So as the Holy Spirit ministers intercede. He's searching through that because he knows the mind of the Spirit of God. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what does he mean by he's searching the heart? Well, how about this sort of thought? As the Holy Spirit intercedes through us by his Spirit, he requires the heart to be used in us. He's made you a new creation. So when the Holy Spirit, how the Father feels, what he's saying, as he intercedes, he searches that heart, he looks for our hearts that are open, soft, ready, receptive, to receive from him, to pray it through. In other words, God looked this morning, as we interceded and prayed for that child who had a hole in the heart. He wanted our hearts open to feel, to be able to touch, so that his hand, his power, can touch that life. And he required our hearts to come into operation, to be touched by him. Because you ain't robots. You don't just rattle off in the spirit. See, isn't the devil clever? It takes more than just speaking in the spirit, rattling in the spirit. It takes the heartbeat of God to ignite it. And if it means those groans, those deep intercessions, that's coming through. Isn't it? That's what that means. That is what it means. Anybody can just speak in tongues. But it's more than that. The heart has to be moved. And only God can move that heart. Only God can make you feel how he feels or what he's saying. Because it's a revelation. You see? I'm convinced that is how Jesus ministered by the Spirit. He had to minister that way by the Spirit. Do you know, if he didn't, his emotions would have been carried away by the huge needs that were around in his day. I remember our brother last week when he'd been out for 2-3 days ministering to the flood victims. And as you know, they took clothing, food. When I spoke to him on the internet, I took a look at him and I said, it was hard, wasn't it? And he said, brother, my heart is broken. It is broken. I am at the end of myself. He said, what I have seen. He said, I have seen dead bodies floating in the water, dead babies. He said, the stench was unbelievable. And he said the desperation when we arrived and the food there scrambling, hands just desperate just for food and so on. He said I couldn't contain myself. And I was listening to this. I was crying with him. And I said, Lord, I am no good at the moment. You have got to do a work in me. I could see it was exposing in me. I felt exactly what he was saying. I was picking it up. We had the privilege to be a part of this, to be able to help finance this. But I knew what this brother was saying. I knew I would be exactly the same. It would break my heart to see all of that. And I said, Lord, somehow, some way, we have to ride above this by the Spirit. And only you can do this. He's bringing it out. He's bringing it out. The key to this is prayer. The key to this is to get in prayer when God calls you. If you know you're being prepared to go into such a situation like that, you have got to be built up in prayer. Because otherwise you will simply be led by your feelings, by your emotions. They will take over every time. I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you think you are. Your emotions will take over. And so the emotions have to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit, so that you are touched by God. Because God has emotions, God has feelings, but his emotions and his feelings are always with faith. And there's the difference. With hope. Because he's the resurrection. He's the life. Where he sees death, he sees life. Where he sees hunger, he will feel. Where he sees sickness, he will heal that. There's the difference. That is what's influencing our emotions, our feelings. There's the difference. See? And it's the same with prayer. And you know, praise God, as we started to pray for that child this morning, all I know is, and I don't know anymore, but I just was sensing the Father's love over that situation. Sensing that he loves that child in the sickness and whatever was going on, even far, far more than me or anyone else could. But I had to experience that. That had to be put in me. I cannot muster that up, as it's religious, it's bondage. And it comes by the Spirit who helps our weaknesses, our infirmities, our changes. He will do it. How is he going to do it, my friends? Help me with prayer, Lord. That's how it's going to happen. By you asking. Simple as that. Simple as that. I'm always intrigued in Luke 11, verse 1. I'll just read this in passing. I know you know this. In Luke 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, that is Jesus, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't ask, Lord, teach us to witness, teach us to evangelize, teach us to preach the word of God. No, they saw something. And as a result of what they saw, they asked. Now, are you seeing something? Because if you are seeing something, you are going to ask that same question, Lord, teach me to pray. Because what they saw was the key to Jesus' ministry. That's what they saw. And they saw the Holy Spirit was doing this through Jesus. For he did nothing except what the Father revealed or bid him to do. And that is what gets the interest of believers when they see the Holy Spirit doing it. You do not get that the same when you see it done in the flesh. Because that simply ministers flesh to flesh. Emotion, hype. That's where religion is. But when you see the Holy Spirit moving in the life of believers in their prayer, that also makes you ask for the same thing. Lord, teach me. That's what I want. That is the key to this. That is where change comes. And that's where change is going to come for this church. But we're only going to be influenced when we see it done by the Spirit and not by the flesh. There is the difference. And so these disciples asked this very same thing. Lord, teach us to pray. And of course he taught the principle of prayer. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us daily our bread. Forgive us our sins. Help us to forgive the sins of others. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. There is our prayer life built on those principles that Jesus gave. Let's just look at them very quickly. So he said, when you pray, they've asked him a question, teach us to pray, Lord, teach us to pray. So he says, here we are, when you pray, glorify the Father, our Father, my Father. You are in heaven. You are hearing me today. I glorify. I lift your name up high. Worship. So before you come before God, don't be too quick to start praying. Start to worship him first. Sing before him. You say, I haven't got a voice. Doesn't matter. Sing. Open your mouth. And the Lord says, I'll fill it. He likes to hear it. Hallow him. Behold him. Acknowledge him. Who is in heaven? You're on earth, he's in heaven. There's the distance. And he's given the Holy Spirit to you where you can unite with him. But that is still where he is, his throne. Hallowed be your name. What is his name? Jesus. There's the name above all names. That's the name you're going to use. That God is going to hear and answer. Because there's no other name. You honor that name. You love that name. You glorify him with that name. That name lifts you up. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Praying the kingdom of God. Not your kingdom. Not for this world. God's kingdom to come and rule upon the earth. Your will be done. There we are. We're submitting to the will of God. Oh, there's the fight. That's why he sends the cross, gives the cross. That's why he works with the flesh, because God is working his will. And so many times you go before God, Lord, I've missed it again. Father, forgive me. Have mercy on me. What is that? What are you doing there? You're praying so that the will of God can be done in your life. The will of God can be done in your sister, your brother, in the house of God, the fellowship where you're going. We're often praying the will of God into being. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. There we are. We thank God for our needs. Food that he gives us. We pray for those who don't have food or for those who are starving. We've had the privilege and honour just recently of being able to send some money out. There it is. That they may be fed. Help to be fed. Give us daily our bread. And forgive us our sins. There we go. We come before God. We've missed it. Forgive me, Father. We come right back to the basics, atonement, the cross, to deal where we've sinned. For we also forgive others their debts, their sins as well. So if God is to forgive you, you are to forgive others as well. There's the principle. And here's one that's not used so very often. We forget this one. Lord, please lead me not into temptation. But whatever it takes, keep me, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from myself, my own deception, my hard heart, my rebellion. Deliver me, keep me in your hand. Whatever it takes, don't let me depart from you. Now, if you really believe that, and you confess that, and pray that before your Father, you can be well assured your Father's never going to let you go. If you want that. That's my prayer. I know myself too well. I know in myself exactly what I can do. But deliver me. Keep me from the evil one. There's the principles of our prayer life. And God says, I'll anoint that by the Holy Spirit. Look at the power in that prayer. Right? And not only for yourself. But you can pray it for your others. I've had the privilege of praying for some of you. And that doesn't make me any better or anyone. But Lord, keep my brother. Keep him from the evil one. Keep him from that temptation. Don't let him go down that road. You know, and I've seen God do it so many times. Answer that prayer for brothers or sisters. What a privilege. Because I've let the Holy Spirit pray that through me. Because he's first put that in me anyway. You see? Well, my friends, I think there's a lot more to this, but I think that is enough for us to digest, to think about, to take away, to pray, and to seek God. And I think the Lord's saying to me, you've said enough now. You see, this is when you've got to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. Sometimes he knows just how much we can take, but we take it away. Help me with my prayer. Father, thank you this morning. We praise you, Lord, that you love us so much. You want us to have the very best. You don't want us to walk in ignorance, in blindness, but you want us to see. And Father, those who truly see and will see in the last days are those who also have a prayer life with you, who are praying, who are seeking you, who take it seriously, who can't rest until they have got before God and talked with you. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for these teachings, these messages that will come out. Lord, again, it's at the right time, so needful. But Father, I thank you, for much will be accomplished. You will be glorified through these teachings. So I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us and keep us till we assemble again. For we ask this in Jesus' name.